as we prepare to hear God's word to us in Scripture and His sermon, let us join together in prayer. Father, we thank you for drawing us together as your people. For allowing us to worship you for who you are and for all that you have done. And we thank you that you now desire to speak to us through your word. I pray, Lord God, now that as your word is read and proclaimed, that we would hear with joy that which you have to say to us today. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning, for the first time since September, is not from Paul's letter to the Philippians. We'll be reading instead from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning at verse 19. Talks about treasures. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Here ends our scripture lesson for this morning. And the text is really going to be the first couple verses of this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I was thinking about treasures, and they are something that have a way of capturing our hearts. I remember at one point a group of us kids in our neighborhood decided that there was treasure buried. We probably had been watching Treasure Island or something that weekend, but we were absolutely convinced that there were treasures buried underneath Mark Ruppersberg's apple tree. And so we gathered up some shovels and started to dig, and probably, you know, it seems like we dug forever. We're probably lucky if we got a foot in and made a big mess, but for that moment, you know, that idea of treasure was just something that motivated our behavior. You know, and I was thinking that, you know, when you get down to it, most of us really never get much beyond that. The treasures change. But ultimately it's the treasure, you know, that which we treasure in our hearts that motivates what we do. As one person has put, you know, what we love determines how we live. Well, this morning we're going to be looking at Jesus' words on treasure, and entitled it, and I don't know why I did this, but you know, when you have to think of a title for a sermon, you know, 3 days before you write it, it doesn't always fit, but you know, it's called investment advice, and in some ways that's what it is. I mean, a lot of people look for advice for their investments. You know, I've noticed that, you know, I usually try to listen to the radio when I'm on the way home from church, and when I'm doing that during the weekdays, it's all political talk shows. If you go on Saturday or Sunday, what is it? It's either Garden World or one of another of several different financial advice shows. And indeed, that's big business in our culture. There are, I found, according to Google, 311,305 financial advisors who are active and registered within the United States who offer, for a fee, offer, if you'll buy the right thing, for advice on how to preserve or grow your assets, or in other words, how to take care of your treasure. And most of it has to do with, you know, people who are my age and a lot of our age, you know, how to make sure that your treasure lasts long enough, as long as you live. Well, as we look at our lesson for this morning, you know, part of it has to do with, in a very real way, with how we invest our treasure. Not simply how we invest our money so that it will last as long as we live, but how we invest our treasure, that which is important to us, so that it will last for eternity. You see, in Jesus Christ, we have been invited to live for a great purpose, invited to live for a deeper meaning that is found in this short span of life. Instead, we are invited into an adventure of living into God's purposes, which will be for all eternity. And part of that has to do with what we do with our treasure. I mean, we all have treasures, don't we? You know, those things, those goals, those pursuits which we are willing in which we are willing to invest our lives and our assets. You know, we give ourselves to pursuing them. We seek to possess them. We put our very heart into a lot of them. Indeed, the treasures to which we give ourselves have a way of shaping our lives. And that's what Jesus is talking about in this lesson for this morning, particularly in our text. Investing not simply in this life, but investing for eternity. Treasure symbolizes what we value. And given the natural human tendency to desire, pursue, and hoard material things, treasure comes in Scripture to symbolize what people truly consider truly valuable, worth possessing and pursuing. And so as a symbol of value and significance, the kind of treasure that we seek indicates what we esteem as most important. And what we treasure determines how we live. Now, Jesus says at the very beginning of this passage is that there are only two kinds of treasures. There are the treasures we lay up on earth. And what's Jesus' attitude towards those? Well, seemingly, it's not very positive. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. You know, what is Jesus saying to that here? Does that mean that, you know, we each have to liquidate our 401k or 403b and give it all away tomorrow in order to have treasure in heaven? Does it mean that we don't think about the future? Well, no, it doesn't say all those things. As you look at this, there are three things we need to notice. The first is that Jesus does not forbid possessions. I mean, there is nowhere in Scripture where there is a prohibition against owning property. Now, the picture that Scripture draws is that God owns all things and that he gives us some to manage and be stewards over. And so the fundamental issue is not whether we have possessions or not, but the fundamental issue is our attitude towards them. Do we see them strictly as ours? Or do we see them as God's that God has given us to manage and enjoy? The second thing, that Jesus does not forbid providing for the future. That's not what he's saying. And indeed, if you look in the Scripture, saving for a rainy day is in fact encouraged. Solomon in Proverbs 6:6-8 uses an example. He says, go look at the ant, you sluggard. The new RSV says, you lazy bones. Look at the ant. Consider its ways and be wise without having any chief officer or ruler. Without having someone standing over them, it prepares its bread in summer and gathers its food in harvest. And the point that the proverb is trying to make is, you know, for those of us who are Boy Scouts, remember, be prepared. You know, we're encouraged to prepare for the future. The third thing is that Jesus doesn't forbid enjoying God's good gifts. Paul wrote to Timothy, and he's talking about, once again, those who are rich. Command those who are rich in the presence of the world not to be arrogant or put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, which is exactly what Jesus is saying here, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, God has given us good things. God allows us to prepare for the future, and we are to enjoy the things that we have. So what is Jesus saying in this command? Well, New Testament scholar John Stott puts it this way. What Jesus forbids his followers is the selfish accumulation of goods. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Extravagant and luxurious living, the hard-heartedness which does not feel the colossal needs of the world, the foolish fantasy that a person's life consists in the abundance of his possessions, and the materialism which tethers our hearts to earth. You see, the problem with treasures, according to Jesus, is not that they are evil, but that they are seductive. They cause us to put our trust in them, but also they are transitory. They do not last. You know, take a trip to the dump some afternoon and kind of look over the thing into the dumpster, and you look there and you look at things that, you know, probably 5 years ago were a treasure for someone. You know, things that were highly esteemed. Now, I know there are some people who would climb down in there and get some of them, bring them out. We won't mention any names, but you know, you go there and you see what happens to those things that we value so highly. They go nowhere. And even if our stuff doesn't end up there, it's not going to do us any good 1 second after our life is over. You know, Andrew Carnegie was one of the wealthiest men of his day. After his death, his accountant was asked how much he left. The answer was, all of it. All of it. And so what Jesus is saying is that we don't store up these treasures here and now. We're not, shouldn't be concerned with selfish gain, not just because, you know, not because they're evil, but because they seduce us into thinking that we can build our life on them. And they're all going to go away. And so he says, in contrast, you know, he says, what will happen? You know, moth and rust is going to destroy him. Thieves will break in and steal. The contrast to that, he says, the other kind of treasure is the treasure we lay up in heaven. And what he is talking about there is what we invest in God's kingdom. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. And the question that Jesus is addressing in this passage has to do with the location of our treasure. And the location of our treasure is a significant matter. It really is. For he goes on to say, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, the location of our treasure is a spiritual issue. For the location of your treasure will determine the location of your heart. What you love will determine how you live. Now, in some ways, that's always seemed to me somewhat counterintuitive. I mean, I would think, and we tell ourselves, well, if my heart is in the right place, then my treasure is going to follow it. You know, if my heart is just good, then I'm going to do good things. But Jesus proclaimed just the opposite, that our heart will follow our treasure. Our heart, and ultimately then our lives, will follow those things that we place great value on. You know, example. Suppose, for example, you took $50,000 and bought a stock in a company. I don't know, Google, Amazon, whatever you want to think of. My guess is that you would exhibit an interest in that company that you never had before. News about the company would make your ears perk up. You would read news about the company with a deeper interest than before. If the stock went up, you would consider concern, maybe even, you know, some anxiety. If it went down, you would exhibit concern and anxiety. If it went up, there might be a sense of satisfaction, maybe even joy. You know, in a small way, that shows your heart follows your treasure. You know, I have things that in my life that I value, you know, idols, I guess you could call them, you know, and things happen and they bother me. When we're on vacation, we're parked in a parking garage and someone, I'm convinced, drops something on our car, putting a nice big scratch and dent. Well, you know, that got to me for about a half a day. Well, maybe a little longer than that. But it's you know, it my heart was affected by treasure. You know, that happens. But suppose, on the other hand, we chose to invest our money and our lives in the work of God's kingdom. Say, giving the money to an organization which dug wells, provide clean water to villages in Africa, or one who sought to send the gospel to unreached people's groups. My guess is that our interest would be turned in a different direction. See, your heart follows your treasure. The Bible says a lot about giving and money. Indeed, Jesus addresses issues of money and wealth more than any other single subject. Why? Because it's important. The Christian life is not some sort of otherworldly spiritual experience. We live in a physical world, and how we deal with that is a reflection of our life with God. What we do with what we have offers great insight into what is really important to us. You know, it's been said in a lot of different things, you follow the money. Maybe we can do that as well, and we find the location of our treasure, but also the location of our hearts. Now, by virtue of the fact that we are here this morning, most of us realize that laying up treasure on earth is not nearly so important as laying up treasure in heaven. And it seems to me that the challenge for most of us is to make our practice consistent with the faith that we profess. And to do that, one thing we need to do is to give. Now, I wish I could say there's another alternative, but the truth of the matter is, if you want to have a growing, vibrant, joyful life in Christ, if you want to live for the kingdom, if you want your treasure to be in heaven, one of the things you need to do is to learn to give, and give generously. Why? Because treasure shapes our heart. Randy Alcorn has written a wonderful little book called the Treasure Principle, and it's got a lot of good things in it, but one thing is kind of the thesis of it is, you know, built upon this verse, is you can't take treasures with you to heaven, but you can send them on ahead. And we do that not simply through immaterial ways, but one of the ways, quite honestly, is through how we give. And so what does it mean to accumulate heavenly treasure. Well, accumulating heavenly treasure means that we are people who invest in God's kingdom. We are called and invited to participate with God in His great work of bringing transformation to all things in the world that will end up with a new heaven and new earth when Jesus returns. As if it means that we become people, or not become, continue to be or grow as people who are investing in God's kingdom, investing in those things that bring about God's purposes. Secondly, accumulating heavenly treasure learns what it means to give out of love. As scriptures say, we love because God first loved us. We give because God first gave to us. 2 Corinthians 8:9. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. And what I mean by that is that we don't give in order to earn something from God. We don't give because, well, if I give $2,000 rather than $1,000, God is going to love me twice as much. That's not how it works. God has poured out upon us grace upon grace upon grace. God has loved us with an everlasting love. And we send treasure ahead of us when we learn what it means to give in love, in response to the love that God has shown to us. Third, accumulating heavenly treasure means learning that giving brings growth. You see, Christian giving is essential to growth. Not that God loves us more if we give more, but there is something about giving that opens us more deeply to receive the love and the grace of God. That's related to the next thing, is that accumulating heavenly treasure brings freedom. Brings freedom. I remember the story of the rich young man in Mark 10. It's actually also in Matthew and in Luke. He said, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And, you know, Jesus said, you know what it is. Keep the law. Do this, do that. And he says, yep, check. Got it. He'd done everything in his mind. But what do we read when he gave that answer? Jesus looked at him and loved him. He said, one thing you lack. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Why did he tell them to sell all that he had? Because money is evil? Was it to place an impossible burden upon him? I believe that Jesus called him to do this to set him free. Because he saw the hold that had on his heart and called him to freedom. You know, freedom in Christ. You know, who are we? You know, society says, quite honestly, you're the accumulation of your possessions and your successes and what people think of you. Jesus says, you are my child. Dearly loved, called and chosen in grace so that you might live for me. And I believe that as we learn to give, as we continue to learn to give, we know more and more of the love of God. Remember many, many years ago, Melissa and I were at a conference with our family, and it came time to give an offering. It was a faith ministry, and that's how they supported it. And you know, when they gave the offering, they said, well, you know, we're not going to tell you how much to give. We're just going to ask you to pray. And I remember, okay, and we took a moment and prayed, and this amount came into my into my head, and it was and so I didn't want to make that kind of decision by myself. So I wrote it on a piece of paper and showed it to Melissa, and I think she went, but you know, there was a real sense that that was what we were called to do. And we did. And you know what? Even though we were on a very tight budget at that point, you know, We made it. And you know what? There was a joy in that. Because a little bit more of our treasure was in heaven. And a little more of our hearts were there too. See, I believe that there are some people who are stuck spiritually because they have never been able to surrender their treasure. They may give, they may even give from a human perspective generously, but their giving has not come out of this response to God's love, has not kept up with God's call upon their lives. And I believe that we have to do stewardship every year. Let's be honest, church needs money to run. There's mission to do, program to fund, building to maintain. But even more than that, stewardship is important because you need to give so that you can know the growth and the freedom and joy in Jesus, so that you can lay up treasure in heaven for, remember what Jesus says? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so next week we're going to be collecting our cards in which we indicate, what we discern we are going to give during the next year. And in the time leading up, as I said last week, I can't tell anyone what to give. But I would ask you to do this. I would ask you, and this can be a very dangerous thing, to pray. Pray and ask the Lord what He would have you to give, not simply to support the life of this church, but to send treasure to heaven. And it might be that some of you pray and you hear a word and you go, and if that's true, I would encourage you to go for it. So that you might lay up treasure in heaven and find your heart there increasingly also. The next hymn we're going to sing is a hymn that many of us probably sung dozens and dozens of times. Take my life and let it be. But as we sing that, I would ask you to look at the words, because that is a radical hymn. And so as we sing that together, if we really believed what we were singing and lived like it, it would make a difference and everyone in the world would know.